He's alive again. Oh, the stone's been rolled away. He's alive again. He's no longer in the grave. He's alive again. I can hear the angels say, let all the world rejoice. He's alive. He's alive again. Oh, the stone's been rolled away. He's alive again. He's no longer.
The stone's been rolled away. I hope that excites you. I hope you're having a blessed Resurrection Sunday. It's our privilege tonight to share with you the gospel. Myself, Pastor Starkey, wife Pastor Carol, son Ryan, and our daughter-in-law, Angela. What a blessing it is for us to gather here tonight. And have you had a smorgasbord today of God's word? Yeah, we can't gather an assembly tonight. But I tell you, out there, there's a lot of Word of God going out. And I was thinking this morning, we started off with Pastor John Armstrong out in Plainfield, Sunrise Service. Then we had Pastor Jeff in Conesville, Pastor Mark out of New Life, and Pastor Allen there at the World Vision Ministry International, bringing forth the Word. And tonight, here we are. It's kind of like Pastor John Armstrong with the opener, and we're the closer tonight, so... We just love you guys, and we just can't wait till the time comes where we can safely gather here together. I know it's difficult for some because we can't be here together, but I'm telling you, it's really difficult on pastors because, and we care for our flock, we love our people, and spatial, I mean, this is Resurrection Sunday, and that we just want to encourage our folks. And, you know, as we look at the times that we're in right now, and we look at the signs and stuff, we know that Jesus Christ is coming back soon. This could be the last Resurrected Sunday that we stand before you and bring forth the gospel. And in a way, the way it is today, it's nice in a way because, well, normally we've been there at 10 o'clock, brought forth the Word of God, and probably down about 11, 11:30 or so. And Pastor John and Jeff and Alan and Mark, about the same way. But now, with this Facebook thing going on, it's being recorded, uploaded, and you know, if I say something right now and you get disturbed, you can always back it up and play it over again tonight and listen to it. For us, this here is going on a CD. We get to send it out to folks who don't have Facebook. A lot of folks, they can't watch us, so we'll be able to send that word out to them, and it'll be alive and gone on forever and ever. And what a blessing that is, because God's word is so important. His love is so awesome. And we want everyone to know. And to know that we know the truth. And as Jesus says, the truth will set you free. So if we come to your home tonight for a half hour or so, we just want to thank the Lord for the ability to do this and bring forth the good news. And tonight, you know, we sang, you know, a stone's been moved away. You think, wow, what's so exciting about that, maybe? And you know, maybe not quite sure why. And but means that Jesus is alive. Because he lives, for us who put our faith in him, we'll live forever. And I know for some, Resurrection Sunday, I mean, it's an awesome day, a nice day to get together for family and stuff, but really don't quite understand. And I've been there before. I've been there many times. I enjoyed the holiday, the Easter holiday, you might call it. And I enjoyed Christmas, you know. In fact, I was faithful. I mean, I'd be in church every Christmas and every Easter, you know. And it kind of reminded me of what I heard one time. A guy went to church with his wife, and they left. And he said, you know, I don't know if I'm going to come back anymore. The wife said, well, how come? He said, well, every time I go there, that preacher preaches the same message. She said, honey, you didn't come on Christmas and Easter. And so, yes, I mean, what an awesome message to preach, the birth of the Savior and then the resurrection of the Savior. So it is awesome. But sometimes we don't quite understand the message. And I know as I'm preaching on sometime on Sundays, somebody sitting in the front row, you think, yeah, boy, that's a good word. That's a good word. They really need it back here behind me. You know, we call that a pitchfork sermon. You say, yep, let's throw it back to the back row. Them guys really need it. But folks, we all need the Word of God. You know, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. And that's really important. And to remember that Jesus did not come into the world to condemn us. No. He came to save us from our sins. And I know time thinking, well, what do I need saving for, you know? Well, I'm glad you asked that question. You know? I'm going to try to bring together from Genesis to the resurrection tonight and just try to give you an insight. Some of you, you've heard this before, and this is to encourage you. Others, you might not quite understand, never heard this way before. I've heard a lot of people tell me that. Never heard anybody preach like I have. I don't know whether it's good or bad, but anyway, it started this way. God created everything. You know, water. God created everything. And in the heavens, there was an angel up there named Lucifer, and he was in charge of the praise and worship team, I put it that way. And as time went on, Lucifer got envious of God, and pride raised up in him, and he decided, I'm going to be like God. And raised up against God. And, well, him and a third of the angels found out you don't do that. They got cast down from heaven. And as time went on, God created man. He took man and put him in a garden. God took this earth, which was really ugly this time because evil had fallen upon it, and made man and put him in the garden. God said, let's make man in our image, and we'll give her dominion. With birds, the land, the ground, put him in charge of this earth. And so God formed man out of dirt. And then he formed him. The Bible says he did one thing. He didn't do any other animal. And he blew his breath, his spirit, to man. And became a living soul. And God said, hey, listen, this place is awesome for you. You get all the food. You're in charge of the garden. But, you know, it's not good for man to be alone. So he made a woman. And said, listen, this is all yours. Now, I'm telling you, there's already evil in the world. There's already evil. But I'm telling you what, don't take from it. Don't eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Because if you do that, you're going to die. But continue to eat from the tree of life. You know, follow my word. You know, awesome. I mean, God gave us everything we needed. But evil. As we know, a time when all man fell, they ate from the forbidden fruit. And they was cast out of the garden. That spirit that God breathed into us, that communication we had, was separated. But you know what? God still loves his creation. He still loved us so much. And down through time, he saw what mankind was going through. He saw what evil has done, what Satan has done to his creation. And Satan hates us. He hates us so much because we are made in the image of God. And that God loves us. So he does everything he can to come against us. And about 2,000 years ago, as God was looking down, he said, you know what? I'm going to come down here and rescue my people. But see, he couldn't just come down as God because he gave dominion, put in charge mankind. So he had to come in a human body. So think of that. God sent his son, Jesus Christ. Brought up from glory, brought up from all the angels that was taking care of him and ministering to him. So I'll go down, I'll pay their sin debt. So be like this coat here. Christ took his supernatural and put himself into mankind, into skin and bones. And he walked upon this earth. He came as born of a virgin birth, and he never sinned. Never sinned. At 30 years old, he was baptized, received the gift of the Holy Spirit, and he went around for 3.5 years in ministry. And basically what he was telling, hey, listen, God isn't about religion. He's about a relationship. You know, he wants to have a relationship with us, and sin is separating us from God. But we just receive him, receive forgiveness, and be reconciled with God. Awesome. But not everybody liked it. Especially those in the religion aspect of it, who was fleecing people and shaking out for money and stuff, they got mad at Jesus. For 3.5 years, Jesus shared his love. Never sinned. But he came here for one purpose, and that was to pay for your sins and my sins. Well, it got tough for him at times. Kind of weary, but he never lost focus. He says, Father, let your will be done and not mine. And just Friday night, we were sitting here for Passover and celebrating the Last Supper. We saw that Jesus loved us so much that he allowed himself to be manhandled. See, he was whipped. His beard was pulled. He had thorns beat on his head. He had stripes on his back. He was beat to a pulp for us. He took our penalties for our sins. Then he went to the cross, and he was nailed to the cross and crucified. God died for his creation. God died for you. He died for me willingly. He loves us so much that Jesus Christ walked upon this earth, never sinned. He never sinned, so death had no control over Jesus. Death would be trespassing on Jesus because he's a sinless body. But Satan, hating God so much, was rejoicing that he was putting Jesus Christ, the Son of God, on the cross and killing him. But as he's on the cross, the Father laid upon him the sins of us, past, present, and future. And as he did, the Bible says he actually turned his face away from the Son. He couldn't see, couldn't be in a relationship with the Son because of sin. And Jesus died. When he died, he paid the sin debt for you and me. Think of that. It's paid for what's been separated us from him for the last 4,000 years. He paid that penalty. That's how much God loved us. That's what this Resurrection Sunday is all about. Wow. Celebrating God's love and maturity completely. That's awesome. Then he rose up from the grave. They buried him 3 days. But he came back to life. Why? Because no grave can hold Jesus down. Because there was no sin in him. And now look at us today. Through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross, because of his death and resurrection, death has no control of any of us who receives God's forgiveness for our sins through his Son Jesus. Think of that. Your sins have already been paid for. Now, I know some of us say, oh, yeah, but I don't sin that bad. Listen, your sins have been paid for. Now we have the decision. Do I allow God to pay the penalty of my sins? And I receive his forgiveness and follow Jesus, the Messiah? Where I say, listen, I don't care what he did. I'm going to pay for my own sins. That when I die, I will go to hell and pay for my own sins. No one's paying them for me. And you can choose that. That's a choice you can make, but God doesn't want that. God wants none of us, created his image, to die and go to hell. Satan wants that. Satan is a liar. He gets into our minds, into our heads. He teaches us, trying to convince us that God hates us, that God's up there with wrath. He wants to destroy us. Listen, wrath of God will come. That's not God's desire. God is a holy God. He can't lie. But he wants you. He wants you to understand why he loves you. The Jehovah God is the only God. The true living God. Oh, there's plenty of fake gods out there. There's plenty of pagan gods out there. But not one of them died for you and rose up from the grave. Some of them say you got to die for them. You got to kill for them. God says, no, it's love. Love one another. Love your enemies. Pray for your enemies. But the hardest thing for us to realize is that we have sin. Sin is part of our nature. When we're born, in sin. Why? Because Adam and Eve, they fell into sin. And then when they reproduce, we're reproduced with a sin nature. Otherwise, we never would be rebellion. Can you imagine that? Your children would never disobey you. We're called the terrible twos, right? They would never take place. But it does. But God loves us so much. But we have to recognize that we all need a Savior. That He died for all of us. And folks, I've shared before, I was 43 years old before I really recognized that. Now, I was the one that would go to church. I had that pitchfork. Hey, good word, preacher. Get that guy behind me. He really needs it, you know? Because while I might have sinned, but I'm not quite as bad as they are, you know? But the Bible tells us His word is given to us for encouragement. Understand that these words are words of encouragement. I just want to share a couple of scriptures here with you. This is for every one of us. This is in your Bible. If you have a Bible, I don't care what denomination that you are, but this will be in your Bible. And it shows each one of us the fact that we can rejoice today when we recognize, man, through Christ Jesus, we have a relationship with God now for eternity. But in your Bibles, in Romans 3:23, it says this, that we all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Every one of us has. Think of that. Now, some people tell me, I know, but you know, Jesus died on the cross for the bad sinners, not for my sin. Well, I'll grant you there's sin and there's worse sins, but sin is sin. Yeah, it's kind of like I was thinking today, it'd be like myself. I got to stand in front of Judge Batchelor someday here in Coshocton because I stole an egg. I went to a farmer and stole his egg. Now I'm standing before him because I've been caught. He says, well, Starkey, how do you plead to this? I said, well, I might be guilty, but listen, it's only an egg. I said, yeah, look at my son Ryan. He stole a whole chicken. You know? I mean, his is worse than mine. And the judge said, hey, listen, I'll deal with Ryan. Right now, I'm dealing with you. And you knew the law, and you broke it, and you're guilty of it. Well, yes, I know. Okay, well, your sentence is $100 fine and a year in jail. Oh, come on. Everybody, I don't care what everybody's doing, the judge says. You knew the law, and you broke it. And just then, I'm being led out of the courtroom, getting ready to go to the jail. In the back, you hear somebody yell, hey, Your Honor. The law requires the fine be paid and a year in prison, right? And Judge Baxter said, yes, that's correct. That has to be done. Hey, I'll take his place. The judge says, well, wait, Your Honor, you just said that's the penalty. Yes, sir. Judge says, yes, I'll take his place. Then the judge looks at me. I have a choice to make now. I have a choice because I say, wait, man, yes. I'll go back to my family. I'll go back to my job. I won't steal an egg anymore. Wow, yes, thank you. Thank you for paying my penalty. Or I can say, hey, I don't need you. I stole the egg. I'll do my own time. I can do that. Who would want to? Who would want to? Think about that. And the Word of God says we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Now, when Ryan comes up for stealing the chicken, it's still going to be sentenced. Because sin is sin. Some sins have greater repercussions. Some sin does more damage toward other people. But sin is sin, and sin separates us from God. And the wages of sin, he says in Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is separation from God now and for eternity. Think of that. Separated from now. Sin in our life, it says in Isaiah 59:2, says, sin closes the ears of God. He cannot hear our prayers. That's how important this is. In Hebrews 9:27, that day in front of the judge, it says right here that as much as appointed for men to die once, and after this comes judgment. Each one of us. A judgment day is coming, but this isn't given to us to beat us down. It's to encourage us, hey, listen, this is true. Judgment day is coming. God doesn't want you to be condemned. It's kind of like in school. a teacher saying, now listen, this is Monday. On Friday, we're going to have a test on these 10 questions. Study it. Well, you'd be prepared for it, right? But you ever walk into class and sit down? And next thing you know, Mr. Wendell Walters says, hey, you got a pop quiz today? Ah, what did you tell me? It's not fair. So our God is a fair God. He's already told us judgment day is coming. And this is what he's judging on. He gives us 10 commandments just to look at. The 10 commandments. Just to show us that we need a Savior. I broke every one of the commandments. That he did 10 of them. In fact, there's 613 in the Old Testament. I'm not sure what they all are, but I probably broke all of them. I needed a Savior. That was Jesus Christ. I received him. And God wants you to do the same. In Romans 5:8, he shows us his love. He said, but God demonstrates his own love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were yet insulting him, making fun of him, turning our backs on him, doing things that he said not to do, we did it anyway. He still loved us. He still went to the cross and died. He saw you on the cross. That's how much he loves you. Show me anybody else that loves us that much. You can't. He did that. Understand that there's not one sin you ever committed that God hasn't already had his son pay the penalty for that. Okay, how ugly it is, how bad it is, God loves you. He offers us forgiveness. He wants us to receive that forgiveness. The world might never forgive you. They might hold it against you the rest of your life. Well, I'm telling you what, they're not going to be on the throne on Judgment Day. Praise God. The giver of life, the redeemer of the world, will be there. And he's offering us forgiveness of our sins right now through the Son, Jesus Christ. But John 1:12 says, but as many as received him, meaning Jesus, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name. So there's only one way to heaven, the only one way to be forgiven. There's only one name upon this earth that mankind can be saved. That's Jesus, the Messiah, Jesus the Christ, Yeshua. He's the one that paid the penalty. You can't buy your way in. You can't get your praise your way in. You can't not be nice enough to get in. It's by accepting Jesus Christ as your Savior, Lord. That's why we celebrate today. He rose up from the grave. He took our sins, paid the penalty, went to hell, set the captives free, went to heaven, put his blood upon the altar, and he's alive today. And he offers us freedom and strength from our sins as we receive him as our Savior and Lord. And John 5:24 says that salvation is assured. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. It does not come into judgment, but has passed away out of death into life. Listen, there's two judgments that will take place. One is a white throne judgment, which takes place at the end of the millennium. That's where everyone will stand before God who has rejected Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. They'll give account for their life. Be cast into the endless pit of fire forever and ever. God doesn't want that. That was created for Lucifer, for Satan, and the fallen angels. But remember, he's a liar. He's a deceiver. He'll try to get the whole of your life. He'll talk lies into you. He'll cause you to get addicted. He'll cause you to do things. But Jesus Christ, the Son of God, will offer you life and life more abundantly. In fact, just like I showed earlier, where he came in and put on the flesh and blood in order to die for your sins. When you receive him as Savior and Lord, he comes inside of you. He gives you the strength now. He gives you a new spirit within inside of you to give you the strength to overcome the temptations of the world and turn away and repent from these sins. It's possible to have a new life. He wants you to have that. He says, you know, repent from your sins, receive Christ as Savior, Lord, be baptized, and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, and the same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the grave come with you and give you the strength. It's possibly set free from your thought life. It's possibly set free from your addiction, from the way you've been. Maybe you've been this way and the generation before you have been that way. God will set you free if you allow him to come into your life. He wants to redeem us from our sins. If not, there is a day of judgment coming. Well, a sad day that will be. That will be judgment, the white throne judgment of those who rejected God's love and his forgiveness. Rejected, he took their place. But for those of us who call upon the name of the Lord, those of us who are born again, we have a judgment coming called the Bema Seat Judgment. It takes place in heaven. We have not judged whether we're going to heaven or hell. We're already in heaven. He looks at the works we've done here on earth and the things that we have done for him, the master, we're rewarded. We get crowns. Those crowns we get to lay down at the feet of the Messiah. You know what the church is waiting for now? Is the coming of the Lord. And I said earlier, the signs are there. The prophecy being revealed that the coming of the Lord is near. Very near. This could be the last message us pastors are able to deliver on Resurrection Sunday because he's coming so soon. And we want anyone to perish. Some might say, well, Starkey, you're so radical. You haven't seen nothing yet. Wait till I get up from the throne of God in the face of Jesus worshiping him. You're going to see something radical. But it's just a burning of my heart, God's heart today, that too many people are being deceived. Being deceived by a watered-down gospel. We have all sinned. Sin is still sin. That will give us the strength to overcome that. He loves you very much. And he cares for you. But very soon, he's coming. He's coming back for his church. He's coming to take his church out. And I'm telling you, after that, 7 years of tribulation upon this earth like you've never seen before. Look at it now. Have you heard about working on a 7-year peace agreement with Israel? Have you heard about this one world identification system? One world government, one world currency. All those are going to take place during the time of 7 years of tribulation. The Antichrist, not being able to buy or sell anything without a mark. That ring a bell right now? That's how close we are to the coming of Christ for his church. He shared with us in 1 Thessalonians 4:16-18. This is for us, for encouragement. He said, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Those who are buried today that gave their trust, put their faith in Jesus Christ, died as a follower of the Master. The graves are going to open up very soon, and their spirit and souls coming back from heaven and reunite their body, and graves are going to open up. And the Bible says they're going to be changed into a glorified body. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we shall always be with the Lord. It's called the rapture, the taking away of the church before the 7 years of tribulation take place. God doesn't want you to miss it. He's coming back for those who love him, who follow him. He's coming back for a bride. He says, without spot or wrinkle. He don't want you to miss it. He don't want you to be left behind. He says for us, let's comfort one another with these words. That we see these days, the ugliness that they are. He already told us in Matthew 24 and other places that these things are the birth pains of the coming of the Lord. And he loves you so much. That Resurrection Sunday is something to be excited about because we can escape. We can escape ourselves. Our life can have a purpose like never before. We have a peace in our life that never been imagined. We have a joy in the middle of the worst circumstances, knowing that we have been reconciled with God, the creator of life, through his son, Jesus Christ. And that this stuff here is just temporary. If you can see it now, it's just temporary. There's an eternal life coming for all of us. It's either in heaven or it's in hell, and God doesn't want us in hell. So I plead with you tonight. I don't know where you're at. I don't know if you're one that used to think that, hey, listen, yeah, I have sinned, but I'm not quite as bad as the next person. Make no difference. You're going to stand before the judge. And the wages of sins is death, separation from God for eternity. Maybe at one time you walked with the Master, you're on fire for the Lord. Man, you may even preach through the pulpit, proclaim the gospel. But you fell. You fell. All right, we can all fall. Get back up again. Confess your sin to the Almighty. And get back in following Him. Because it's real. God's love for you is real. His word is real. And He's coming back. He's coming back for us. For those who follow and believe in Him, please. I beg of you. And pastors around here, around the world, are saying, man, please. Come to Christ before us. It's about a relationship. Not religion. Not religion. It's not about what the clothes you wear or where you go. It's about having Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord. If you can wear a suit, fine. If you wear jeans and t-shirt, that means the difference is inside here. That's one thing I believe in these last few weeks is that the church has been woken up again. They realize we put too much emphasis on the things of the world. In fact, some churches, we couldn't tell the difference between the church and the world. But praise God, man, we're waking up. You know, it's like I shared before, it's kind of like being married. Been married 44 years. 43 years, okay? Hey, there's hot time and cold time. And what happened? You got to wake yourself up. You got to stimulate. You get that humdrum, like, okay. Yeah. Hey, honey, you love me? Yes, I married you, didn't I? That's not really a good answer, okay? But see, but we realize, why do I love my wife? Man, why does she love me? Man, just get all fired up again. And that's what we're going to do with God and Son Jesus. Man, He loves us so much that He died for our sins. And to follow Him. Follow Him. I encourage you. Man, if you're in church, if you're in a Bible believing, Jesus Christ believing, blood-bought church, woo, with the Holy Spirit in it, stay in there, get closer. Keep praying for your pastors. But man, if you don't know Christ, if you're not connected to a church that believes the Word of God, that waters it down, get out. Get out and get into a place that believes the Word of God, that doesn't water it down. Because each one of the Word of God says we are responsible for working our salvation daily. If we sit under a false teaching, a false belief how you get to heaven, and we die, we don't go to heaven. We can't say, well, I'm sorry, He told me no. Now, woe to the one that's preaching to you falsely. But work out your salvation daily. The Word of God, I beg of you. Now, there's a lot of awesome fired up pastors, believers in Christ here in Keshocan around our community. I don't know all. There's a bunch of, praise God, there are preachers on the streets. Man, I tell you, born again, men and women of God, born again Christians. Now, I share a lot about Pastor John out in Plainfield and Jeff in Conesville and Pastor Mark on 7th Street and Pastor Allen, but a lot more. There's a lot more. Man, find the Master. Give your life to Christ. Receive His forgiveness. Rekindle that fire. He's coming. He's coming back very, very soon. And once you be ready. I love you guys. I love you so much. Praise God. Praise God. Our praise and worship team is going to lead us. Going to lead us in praise and worship, okay? And share with you because He lives, man. That we can face tomorrow. Why? Because if He's in our life, He's already taken care of tomorrow. We follow Him and He'll bring us through. Amen? Amen.
God sent His Son. They call Him Jesus. He came to my pardon. Hallelujah. We praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. How about you? Do you feel the presence of the Holy Ghost where you are? I pray that He just fills your living room or your bedroom or wherever you're watching from. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord Jesus. We praise your holy name. Oh, shame is a prison as cruel as a grave. Shame is a robber, and he's come to take my name. Love is my redeemer, lifting me up from the ground. Love is the power when my freedom song is found. Shame is a prison as cruel as a grave. Shame is a robber, and he's come to take my name. Oh, love is my redeemer, lifting me up from the ground. Love is the power when my freedom song is found. There ain't no grave gonna hold my body down. There ain't no gonna hold my body down. When I hear that trumpet sound, I'm gonna rise up out of that ground. 'Cause there ain't no grave gonna hold my body down. Oh, fear is a liar with a swooning down. Break the grave. hold my body down, make the grave. Gonna hold my body down. When I hear that trumpet sound, gonna rise up out of that ground, there ain't no grave. Gonna hold my body down. There was a battle, a war between death and life. Down to hell, he took back every key. He rose up as a lion, and he set all the captives free. There ain't no grave could hold his body down. Ain't no grave could hold his body down. When he heard that trumpet sound, if you walked out of that grave, I'm walking too. That's our promise. If you walked out of that grave, I'm walking too. If you walked out of that grave, I'm walking too. Hallelujah. If you walked out of that grave, I'm walking too. If you walked out of that grave, I'm walking too. Walked out of that grave, I'm walking too. Say it with me. Let's get to walking. If you walk out of that grave, I'm walking too. If you walk out of that grave, I'm walking too. Ain't no grave gonna hold my body down. There ain't no grave gonna hold my body down. When I hear that trumpet sound,
celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Well, actually tonight, do you know the Savior? Have you received Him as your Savior and Lord? You know, 20 years ago, working with the Sheriff's Office, heard a pastor by the name of Jim Gross came in, bringing the gospel, and I heard that. And man, there was a really, pretty low point in my life. Man, I received Jesus Christ, and He turned my life upside down. He gave me a plan and a purpose like never dreamt of. And Brother Rick Bonnie's the same way. God turned his life around upside down. Brother Wayne Reed, I'll tell you what, God makes a difference in our lives. We just call upon His name, receive Him. Man, He died for you. He paid the penalty.
If you would call upon the name of the Lord tonight, receive Him. Say, Lord, forgive me my sins. Come into my life. I surrender. I need to be my Savior. Save me from myself. Save me from my sins. Become my Lord. I will follow You. And God will give you a plan and a purpose like never before. I'm not promising you a new car, a new job, a new house. I'm not promising you nothing. I'm just saying that when you're reconciled with the Heavenly Father and become His child, as it says in John 1:12, and there's no limit to what God will do and can do for you. He'll give you a peace and a joy. He's a healer. He's a deliverer. Just ask Him tonight to come in. And He will come. He will come into your life. Surrender tonight to Him. Then I want you, when you do that, I want you to contact somebody. Somebody's born again. Say, hey, I just gave my life to Christ. Man, to get connected with a body of believers and grow in Jesus and to see what He has planned for you. God bless you. We love you. Thank you so much for allowing us to celebrate the victory that Jesus Christ gave us over sin and over death and over the grave. May I close with this. That may the good Lord bless you and keep you. May He cause His face to shine upon you, be gracious to you, and may He turn His face toward you and grant you peace. And may you walk in that peace. In Jesus' name, amen. Not sure how soon we'll be back here face to face, or at least in person, I guess. But keep loving Jesus, keep reading the Word of God, keep praying for one another, keep praying for our nation, keep praying for our elected officials. Keep praying for all of us to be faithful because He's coming soon. God bless you. Have a good night.
The gates and doors are barred, all the windows passing down. I spent the night in sleeplessness, rose at every sound. Sorrow, half in fear of the day, would find the soldiers breaking through to drag us all away. But just before the sunrise, I heard something at the wall. The gate began to rattle and a voice began to call. I hurried to the window, looked down into the street, expecting swords and torches and the sound of soldiers' feet. Well, no one was there but Mary, so went down to let her in. John stood there beside me as she told me where she'd been. She said they moved him in the night, none of us know where. The stone's been rolled away and now his body isn't there. Ran toward the garden, then John ran on ahead. We found that stone and an empty tomb, just the way that Mary said. But the winding sheet they wrapped him in was just an empty shell. How or where they'd taken him was more than I could tell. Something strange had happened there, just what I did not know. John believed a miracle, but I just turned to go. Circumstance and speculation couldn't lift me very high, cause I'd seen them crucify him, and then I saw him die. Well, back inside the house again, the guilt and anguish came. And everything I'd promised him just added to my shame. When at last it came to choices, I denied I knew his name. And even if he was alive, it wouldn't be the same. Well, suddenly the air was filled with a strange and sweet perfume. light that came from everywhere drove shadows from the room. Jesus stood before me with his arms held open wide, and I fell down on my knees and I just clung to him and cried. He raised me to my feet, and as I looked into his eyes, love was shining out from him like sunlight from the skies. Guilt in my confusion disappeared in sweet release, and every fear I've ever had just melted into peace.